Everybody, welcome. One co-host, that's nice. Ooh, Matt Orban's on the call. Matt, do you notice my hat? I still wear this hat regularly, Matt, in case you're wondering. Matt gifted me this at our last retreat. Okay, so as everyone comes on in now, oh, Coach Andrew, nice to see you. It's going down.
Man, having technical difficulties. Love the lid, bro.
So do I. Thank you. Thank you for it. Appreciate that. Okay, everyone. Wednesday night call. Coach Chris here. Let me run you guys through it. We are going to start off with anybody who would like to share some of their wins, possibly in the last week. If you weren't on the call last week and you have some wins in the last month, we'd like to hear them. Specifically, if anybody here has a strength win. Today, we're going to be talking about strength. So if you've got a win in your training and it's strength related, why don't you just share? You can share in the chat. You can unmute yourself. Regardless, I'd like to hear from you guys. So let's put in some wins of the week. I'll tell you guys maybe some wins I've got. I'm 3 weeks out from my Canadian powerlifting nationals. This will be my 76th competition of doing three exercises in front of people. And my training is going good. Everything's not perfect in our worlds over here. I've actually, believe it or not, I actually got too small. I'm too small. And for the first time in many, many years, I am underneath the 160-pound mark, so I had to increase my eating to make me less victim weight and more of an adult because I compete at 163 pounds, so it's not good to be 159. But my training is going good. First time in a decade, I've gotten to the 1,000-pound dumbbells, 1,000-pound dumbbells up. That is, Matt.
100. Sorry,
Gotcha.
two-fingered that.
Typo, typo. I've never, yo, my man, 1,000-pound dumbbells. That'd be wild. But 100 pounds, that's good. That's good. Nice. Love to hear that. What were you doing? Were you doing them for sets of reps? Were you just doing for a single?
Six, so, set of six.
Sixes on hundreds? Yeah, that's not lightweight. That's good, man. That's
Oh,
good.
good. Shoulders are better than they've been in forever.
Oh, fantastic. Andrew, I know you're back to doing some of your jiu-jitsu and stuff. Are you still feeling strong?
Yep, it's going well. I'm taking Zoe, my youngest, to jiu-jitsu in about a little under an hour. So I got her roped into it now, and it's awesome, man. I'm obsessed with jiu-jitsu. So if you guys ever meet me, I might grab you and try and pull on you. No, I'm just kidding. That's my mission.
You know, my wife's competing at our provincial level for jiu-jitsu next month, actually. So she's just up to all of her training, and she's like, "Hey, let me just practice something on you." And I'm like, "Fantastic! Here we go." I hate it, but whatever. She loves it. That's good. A couple other strength wins or other wins someone would like to share. You can unmute yourself, or you can say it in the chat. I know some of my guys on this call here got a few strength wins. Andrew, would you like to talk a little bit about yours?
You might have to clarify which one it was. I'm not sure what was a like max win for me. I guess I got up to my like max set of five on squat, probably a good 10 pounds from, I don't know, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
So
that
there's
was
a problem there.
definitely better than expected.
Yeah. And Andrew, you're also at a lighter weight too. You're a leaner individual than when we started, yet your strength is going in an upward trajectory. So that's a
Yeah,
nice.
down about 15 pounds and within a couple pounds of the main goal I was shooting for, but thinking about more now.
Yeah, as we always should. And you got cheekbones now. You had all cheeks when we met. Now you got some bones in there.
Yeah.
That's good. Zach, would you like to share some of your strengths? Are you in the office? Are you sneaking this call in?
I am still billing as we speak.
Oh, well, man, gotta make time for that.
Multitasking.
Yeah. You've had some gains in the gym recently, though. Would you like to share any?
They've been small incremental gains, but I have been encouraged by the fact that my shoulders are getting stronger. So by working with the physical therapist and putting it back in the right spot, like I can lift heavier without pain, which is really awesome. Really, really awesome.
Yeah, and Zach's a really good story here. Sometimes we might think that from a coaching perspective, myself and Andrew might look at you guys and say, you just need a better technique, you need a better form. And if you do that, things will be fine. Because that's usually always the case. But sometimes we understand you guys can't do it ideally because something's blocking you. And Zach had a, I think he had an anterior tilted scap that was locked into place. It just could not move. So he found, as he, you call it, PT Jesus, a physical therapist, found it and did manual manipulation, opened him up, and then he was actually able to stabilize his scapular shoulder much better. Pressing got better, pulling got better. And then you want to tell him what you noticed there with your son recently?
Yeah, I've got a 9-year-old boy who has his goal this year with the other kids in Taekwondo, wants to do push-ups. He's got some physical issues and he's never been able to quite do it as hard as he tries. And a couple of weeks ago, we're in the garage and I noticed that his scap was similar to mine. So I took him to the same physical therapist that I go to on Monday, and he was able to manipulate his spine and his upper rib and put his scapula back into place, and he could do 3 times as many push-ups by the time he left this appointment with the physical therapist. Just wild.
That's pretty cool to see. So for any like dads on the call here and stuff, sometimes like if you have offspring that are of your genetics, look at them as if you're looking at yourself. And there's a prime example. I have one arch on my right arch on my right foot is higher than on my left. And about a decade ago, I was seeing someone and they said, "Well, you must have injured your left foot or your left ankle because your arch is flatter on that side." And I said, "Well, seems fine. I don't have any issues." And then I've got a 10-year-old boy now. A couple summers ago, we're at the pool, and I look over and I said, "Hey, buddy, turn your feet like this. This is how you can compare your left and right arch." And let's turn my feet to the sides. And he did that. And guess what? His left arch is more flat than his right, the exact same as me. So there is a sometimes a little bit of a genetic component that actually does matter. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Matt, you raised your hand there. Did you want to chime in on something?
Oh, just a dad. I
No.
said, I have kids.
Okay.
At least one that I'm aware of.
Okay, cool. So today what we're going to talk about, we're going to talk a little bit about strength training and why you might not be getting the strength you want in the gym. And I've put together a list of reasons. One, two, maybe all of them they might bring you some thoughts of how you might need to adjust a few things in your own training if you want to get strong. When it comes to being strong in the gym. So the first thing I want to address is that we got Costa Rica, there were a lot of the guys are training for now, and there's going to be a component there where you want to be a little bit stronger, especially if you were there last year. So what we do in the gym now carries over into that point. So in the chat box here, I want everybody, you're on this call, you're going to participate in this one here. Write down one of your current strength goals you have or a future strength goal you'd like to get. So it could be something you're working on now. It could be like I want to bench press the 110s for six. It might be I want to be able to deadlift 2 times my body weight. It might be I want to be able to get to Costa Rica and be able to get through the workouts. So there's a future goal. It could be a current goal you're working on right now. So in the chat box, what is a goal you have when it comes to strength? Okay, so Steven wants to bench 100 kgs and deadlift 200 kgs. How interesting. We just had a talk about you bulking up. So it's the right time. Yeah. Be at a high standard for Costa Rica, better muscular endurance for Costa Rica. 1,000 pound club, love that. If you're writing these goals down right now for the group here, I hope you have them written down somewhere for yourself. And if not, write them down for somewhere to have somewhere else. It's always good to be looking at that. Cardio endurance levels be laser sharp. Ooh, I like that. Create movement patterns with no impingements. Yeah, that's a good strength goal to have as well. I mean, there's nothing worse than trying to lift something overhead and then all of a sudden you're getting shoulder impingement. Okay. So again, write these down if you haven't done so for yourself already. Increase core strength in order to handle a decline sit-up. That's a good one. So I'm going to go over just with you my little list here that I have of some things. And then as we talk about them, I'll give you some examples of why this might not happening. The first thing, when we talk about strength and you want to get strong, you have to define what strength is for you. How do you know if you've actually gotten strong? What does that look like? In the chat, a lot of you already mentioned what does strength look like for you? Cardio endurance is different than being able to bench 100 kilos, deadlift 200 kilos. So once you've identified what strength is, whatever you do to obtain that, it's got to match it. If you want to bench 100 kilos, your training program should not look like you doing 10Ks every 3 days. There should be some form of bench press in there. If you want to minimize impingement or eliminate impingement in your shoulder, yet you're in the gym and you're doing overhead press, you're doing incline dumbbell presses, you're doing a lot of cable flies, and you're not getting any treatment or you're not adjusting your technique, then those goals don't align with what you're trying to do. Your actions don't align with the goals you're trying to do. So you have to make sure we understand is what do we standardize strength to be? And then are we working towards it? Now, some of the reasons why people don't get strong in the gym, why you're not getting strong in the gym, the first one I would say is that people are actually lifting too light. So what I mean by that is to get stronger at moving an object from point A to point B, you have to stress your body. Getting strong, it's kind of like getting a suntan. If you go outside and it's 30 degrees and you are pasty white and you go outside for 1 hour, you're going to get a sunburn. If you don't lift any weights ever and you go in the gym and you try to do as many reps as you can with your max, you're going to get a sunburn. That's lifting too heavy. If you want to get a bronze on your skin and you go outside for 10 minutes a day, every second day, and then you increase that to 12, you increase that to 14, that's going to be the right amount of stimulus you need to cause an adaptation of a suntan. So for some people, they want to get strong, but they're actually not lifting heavy enough weights. They're always going outside for 2 minutes at a time, and that's it. So sometimes you have to lift heavier than what you currently are doing. How do you know? Well, if you've been lifting the exact same weights on the exact same exercise, and your goal is to increase the strength on that exercise, you're going to have to increase more weight. So what you could do is you could increase the weight and decrease the repetitions. An example. Every Monday I go to the gym, I do 4 sets of 8 on bench press at 75 kilos. If every Monday you just keep doing 4 sets of 8, 4 sets of 8, 4 sets of 8 at 75, and you've never actually held 80 kilos, why does your body have to get stronger? It does not. You might want to look to do sets of 6 with 80 kilos, sets of 4 with 85 kilos, sets of 2 with 90 kilos. There has to be a component where the weight gets heavier. And that's one reason why sometimes people are not getting strong in the gym is they're actually just not lifting enough. I would argue sometimes it's the opposite, where myself and Andrew and the other coaches might see that on average, our guys are lifting too heavy. They're getting that sunburn on a regular basis. What do you think can happen if you lift too heavy in the gym? I'm opening the floor to anyone who would like to answer this. What happens if you lift too heavy?
Form can go.
Your form can go. And what does that look like? Can you give me an example? What does form going look like?
Injury. So you're going to stop trying to use or recruit other muscles to do the same task that you should be using, and that's when you'll probably pick up elbow, shoulder, knee, whatever injuries.
Okay, so what you're saying is form starts to go, the technique is going to change, and you're going to have to use compensation patterns or compensation muscles, and an injury can occur. Love it. What does that look like? Well, let's take an example of, we'll take a look at the deadlift. The deadlift's a great example because it's kind of a common one we tend to see here as coaches. In the deadlift, we all know that that bar is supposed to be close to your body and your back is supposed to maintain a flat position. Flat is this, flat is this, flat. These are all straight flat positions. When you lift beyond your capacity and that back goes from flat to slightly round to monstrously round, the compensation pattern has happened to be able to lift that load. So now you're lifting with compensation. What is the next side effect to be? With enough reps, enough weight, and enough time, it's going to be an injured back. This could be some form of what people might hear of a bulge disc or a slip disc. This could be a strain of an erector muscle. This could be even at further extent, it could be a herniation. But that's what happens when you lift too heavy. What also happens when you lift too heavy? Well, in my observation, and Andrew can attest to this, we start seeing people lift less range of motion. To take the 80-pound dumbbells and do a seated shoulder press, what a lot of us might tend to do as the weight goes up is all of a sudden the range of motion is less. When we go from here to here, here to here, same with the chest press, when I bring the chest, the barbell all the way down to our chest. For the back squat, we don't squat low to stretch the muscles. And what happens is when you shorten the range of motion, the tissue, the muscle tissue, does not get stressed the way it normally does, or as optimal as it does for muscular growth. And instead, the joint has to handle a lot more of the load. So you start lifting the weights in partial ranges with loads beyond your capacity, and the joints handle the weight much more than the muscular system does. So when you lift too heavy, you're not getting stronger, or if you actually have more weight on, and your range of motion becomes left, you're not meeting the standard. So that's why, like when you work with myself and you work with Andrew, we say, let's see some videos here. You send me some videos. I say, okay, we got to squat lower. You got to bring the barbell down to your chest, fully extend your elbow on an overhead, whatever it is. We say, these are the standards of the exercise. As we increase weights at any point, the standards never change. If the standards change and the range of motion changes, you don't get more weight. You're lifting too heavy. It's not going to be optimal because it doesn't meet the standard that we've agreed upon. Does that make sense to everyone? You can nod. I can see you all. Thanks, Keith. Appreciate that. So we need you to address what the standards are going to be, agree on them for strength training exercises, and then make sure that you're meeting the same range of motion every time. So we don't want to be lifting too heavy. No compensation patterns, no other muscles kicking in, no injuries occurring. Speaking of injuries, the third reason why people might not be getting stronger in the gym would be inefficient form. So an inefficient form might limit you to the amount of muscle motor unit recruitment you can use. So let me give you an example. Pecs. If you want to develop your pecs, we need to lengthen the pec as much as we can and then shorten the pec. That's for muscular contraction. So that looks like a cable fly in a lengthened position with a supination, external rotation of the hand to lengthen the pec. Fully shortened would be an internal rotation with a little bit of protraction, bringing the arm across the body. Okay. But if I want to increase my bench press, I'm not using that same range of motion. If I want to increase my bench press, I have to come up with a standard. What's the standard? Well, the standard is going to be my arm start. Extended, my elbows are locked. I'm holding a bar in my hands. The bar comes down, touches my chest. The bar goes back up to the starting position. So if I'm trying to bench press with only my pecs, who knows what position I want to push my elbow to? If I want my pecs doing the majority of work on a bench press, what should I do with my elbows? What do you think?
Slightly bent.
What's that, Matt?
Slightly bent. I mean, if you lock out, then you're taking the stress off the chest.
Yeah, like if I'm doing like 3/4 reps to keep tension on the pecs, that's one good way from a hypertrophy perspective. If I want to do a fly motion. I want to get the resistance away from the midline of my chest to lengthen my pec. So on a bench press, what I could do is I could actually take my elbow and I could flare it kind of high. Because from the elbow to my fist, wherever the load is, that's going to be the furthest part away from the midline of my chest. That's going to stretch my pecs the most. So if I want my chest to do the majority of work on a bench press, I'm going to lie down flat on the bench press with no arch. I'm going to have my elbow flared out as far as it goes. That'll lengthen my pec. Is that the most efficient way to do bench press? That's not. That will allow you to bench the most weight only using your pecs. But if I want to move the most amount of weight off my chest, I want to use every muscle in my body. What does that look like? Well, my feet would be pressed into the ground to the point where I can feel tension in my quadriceps. My sternum would be raised as high as I can get it. So I'm going to lift my sternum up. That's going to decline my pecs. If it declines my pecs, they're actually more advantageous of pushing weight in a decline position. Because in a flat position with an elbow flare, you'll see the pec minor muscle does a bit more work. And that pec minor muscle is smaller than my pec major. So in a decline position, I can actually recruit more muscle fiber that way for more strength. A decline position will also allow my scapula to be in a much better retracted, depressed position, which stabilizes it. So if I want to move the most weight off my chest with a barbell, I want to be pushing my feet to the ground using my legs. I want to create a bit of an arch with my body, lifting my sternum as high as it goes, stabilizing my scapula, and I'm going to want to tuck my elbow a little bit into my body. If I tuck my elbow a little bit into my body will then have the choice of using the anterior deltoid, pec minor, pec major, tricep, and latissimus dorsi. So now I've got all these muscles come to the party to move that weight. Contrast to doing it from a bodybuilding perspective, where I'm isolating mostly the pecs. So it's inefficient form. When the objective is strength, you want to lift or move an object with multiple muscles. When the objective is hypertrophy, you want to move the object with the one muscle you're trying to target at a time. Does that make sense to everyone? That's where, when you're inefficient from a technique perspective, you might not be able to lift more weight. Because you're not using as many muscles that are optimal for you. Does anyone have any questions so far about lifting too light, lifting too heavy, or inefficient form or inefficient form? Andrew, is there anything you would like to add to that? Oh no, did Andrew leave? Other Andrew, Coach Andrew. Yep, Coach Andrew.
Chris, question. We've covered it before, but I've forgotten the answer. Like, where do you, if you're working on form, tempo, making sure it's right, and you kind of, when do you progress? So, like, is it when you're doing, if you set eight, you've got eight perfect reps at a weight, you wait until that point before you go, or how do you decide before you go up? Like, what's that step? Is it like I'm doing eight pretty well, but I want to push my strength, so I'm gonna go before I'm at 100%, or like, because you can kind of progress to the point where your form goes completely, but
So
yeah,
what you're saying
I
is
tend to focus on the form.
So when would you increase the amount of weight? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, when do you know when it's time to go up?
Okay. So if the objective is to move the most weight possible, if the goal is, do I want to move the most weight possible for eight? Do I want to move the most weight possible for one? There'd be different parameters around that. If the objective is to increase your bench press max, your single. You will get better by increasing your total volume over time than just how much can you do for one set of eight. I'll give you an example. If you can do 100 kilos for eight reps on the bench press and you're doing three, four sets, you're like, hey, I'm getting pretty good at this. I wonder if I can go to 105 right now. How do I know when to go to 105? Instead of taking that risk of just throwing 105 on and maybe getting one good set out of it, but it's actually a really hard set of eight, if you did six sets instead of four sets at 100, you've just increased your volume by 16 more reps, right? So when it comes to strength training, it's more about the volume gain at first. So if you finish a set of eight and you're like, that was actually pretty good, and you've got the time in the gym, do another set. Increase your volume that way. Because you're not increasing your load at too fast of a pace, you're going to be able to take more later down the road. But another way of looking at it is when you finish a set of eight, and you can be really honest with yourself and say, that was easy. Like that used to be challenging. Now it's actually easy. The next set, let's put 5 more pounds on. Contrast to horseshoes, right? With hope. Hey, I did a set of eight. I hope I could do 5 more pounds on the next one, right? If you've got money in your pocket and you're willing to put it on the table and bet and say, oh, I can definitely do another 8 reps with 5 more pounds, that's a good indication to put more weight on the bar. But if you're like, I wonder if I could, maybe, I hope I could, then just sometimes the juice ain't worth the squeeze. But what you could do in that situation, one sec, Matt, what you could do in that situation is let's say you rolled the dice. Hey, I wonder if I could. And all of a sudden you're banging out, you're like five, six, and all of a sudden seven's like this. You can just rack it. You don't have to go for that eighth rep and possibly fail or pull a pec muscle. You could just say, okay, I rolled the dice. I put it on there. I got a few reps in. It started slowing down way sooner than my previous set of eight. Just rack the bar, tell your coach, and then figure out a different way to go about it. Matt, you want to add something?
Curiosity. 8 reps. Whatever. We're at 485 pounds on the bar. We get our 8 reps. We're good. What if, are you leaving 9 and 10 in the tank for the next set? And I'm joking about the 485, at least for me.
I know what you're saying though. Should you always go to absolute failure to get stronger?
Yes.
No. You don't have to go to failure because when you go to failure, it takes away from your next training set or your next training day. So I'll give you an example here. I will go to failure 3 times a year on each lift. That's it. But I can still get stronger. How can I still get stronger without going to failure? Well, because I don't go to failure, I don't have to take a whole bunch of time off to recover after I go to failure. Because I don't go to failure on a regular basis, I can do more volume. Because I don't go to failure, I don't get injured. So in the gym, if any of you guys are in here and you got a coach and you have an objective of I want to be able to lift X amount of weights for X amount of reps, we would structure the program around that as the goal. That is a specific goal. If you want to be in the gym putting on muscle, guess what? You're going to get stronger if you just put on more muscle. Like that just tends to happen. No one's going to put on 20 pounds of body weight of muscle mass, and they're using the same dumbbells that they did when they started. So to go from one body weight to 20 pounds more muscle mass, you're naturally just going to be able to lift a little bit more weight. So you don't have to actually always go to failure to do it. It takes too much out of the system to recover from, especially if you're looking at a big complex movement like a deadlift. So if you truly hit like your max effort deadlift. I remember I've done max effort deadlifts before where like driving home afterwards didn't make sense. Where I get home at night and I talk to my wife and she's like, are you even here? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Right. And I'm so out of it. Your hands hurt for days. Like when you truly like go hard, like your hands will hurt afterwards. So to go to failure, in my experience coaching with people, I try to keep them trained just below that on a regular basis. They don't have to go to failure all the time. Tour de France athletes, they never hit their VO2 max in their training. They always train below it. And the longer they train below it, the more it goes up over time. So they never have to actually hit their peak. They can always stay just below it. You do the same thing with strength training too. You don't have to go to max. Now, hypertrophy and strength are separate. You can go to failure on hypertrophy and not wreck your body. What would that look like? You can no longer contract your pec, say on a fly, without compensation. I can get to here on the flies. The only way for me to get my arms any closer is to do this. There's compensation. Okay, I'm just done here. But I'm probably doing dumbbell flies with 25 pounds, or I'm doing chest cable flies with 25 pounds. I'm not maxing out my cable fly for a single. So you can do that, get a pump, recover 90 seconds, 3 minutes, and then redo it again. But if you literally lie down on the bench, took your max, put it on your chest, and lifted it up, you're not going to be able to do that for multiple sets. At each one, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse because you've gassed out. Same with the deadlift. So, strength training, hypertrophy training are two separate things. They should be treated slightly different. You good with that, Matt?
Yes, 100%. To be honest, mostly I'm not too worried about moving up the numbers. I'm mostly worried about putting on lean mass and looking pretty for the beach. But it's still an it's a fascinating conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. And I can speak from experience. No partner, no male, no female in my life ever was really, well, actually, no, I shouldn't say that. It's not too often someone is interested in how much you can lift unless they're just like one of your buddies or like a gym bro, right? So if I was at the club and I was looking for a female, at no point would she be like, "Hey, I heard you bench this much." Like that, no, that never happens, right? You take your top off, you got some muscles on, like that's a different conversation, right? But people who really care about how much you lift, they're these other guys at the gym that lift with you, right? That's all. That's an observation. Next reason why people might not be getting so strong in the gym is they're just being inconsistent. Like I talked about that. Stimulate, adapt, and then you can get stronger. Like the suntan example, it's the same thing with strength training. If you want to increase your strength on an exercise, say even the leg press, can you leg press twice on week one, once on week three, 0 times on week four, once on week five? You're being inconsistent here, right? If you want to get really good at something, you got to do it on a consistent basis. You stress, recover, adapt. Do it again. Stress, recover, adapt. For some people, it's hitting one muscle one time a week. The research suggests you hit one muscle multiple times a week to do that. If I said to everyone on this call right now, I've got a $10 million check I will give to you if you can squat 3 times your body weight and you've got 30 days to do it. If everyone on this call here currently squats one time a week, to get a $10 million check, are you only going to squat 4 times before the end of the month? No. You're like, how do I squat twice a day for 30 days? You would look to increase your frequency and your consistency of it because that's what works. When it comes to strength, that's easy way to get stronger is you just got to be consistent by doing the same thing over and over again. And the body will adapt to it. Anytime someone says to me, they're like, hey, I wish I could bench more. What should I do? My answer is always you should bench more. And usually what that means is they might bench press one time a week, but they have a goal of benching a lot heavier weights. I'd say start benching 2 times a week. Be more consistent with the bench and increase the frequency of the exercise you want to get better at. So inconsistency, that's a big one. You get sick, you're going to be a little bit weaker. You go out on the weekend, you have a bunch of alcohol, you're going to be weaker on Monday. You might even skip a workout. But if you're too inconsistent, it's hard to get strong. This doesn't work the same. That goes to my next point here. Another reason why you're not getting strong is that you have too much variation. Too much variation in your training. You're not getting the stimulus for what you're trying to get strong at on a regular basis. If your program looks different on a week-to-week basis, yet your objective is to take one specific exercise and get better at that one exercise, it's not going to work really good. CrossFit can break that rule though. But the reason why sometimes CrossFit breaks that rule is they will do variations of randomized exercises, but they're still going to incorporate consistency. Consistency with you might go to, you're always going to press something overhead. You're always going to do a deadlift variation. You're always going to do some form of gymnastics. So you're always doing something that's consistent, but the exercise itself might change a little bit, where one day it could be a ground overhead with a barbell, and the next day it could be a jerk press. You're still doing something overhead, but it's going to be a different exercise, but your consistency is going to be high. So when you have too much variation, but it's not the same movement patterns or similar movement patterns, it's hard to get strong there. Has anyone ever found themselves into that position before? Where you're just going to the gym, you're doing the workout of the day, things are just randomized, you're not getting any stronger, not getting any results. That's because there's too much variation. That's when that would happen. Okay, next reason here. When it comes to lifting heavy, do you usually feel like you need a little longer rest afterwards compared to lifting something light? Normal? Because a lot of times when you lift something heavy, if you're using multiple muscle groups at the same time, you're going to use a lot more motor units. So your nervous system comes into play to move that object. It takes longer for those motor units to recover to be able to go again. So it's almost like You got to use a whole bunch more of your nervous system to move something heavy than to move something light. So your rest period should be a little bit longer. Does anyone here, by show of hands, if you're on video, show of hands who times their rest periods in the gym? Who times their rest period? Okay, good. So Andrew, how long do you usually rest in your strength step? What's your rest periods?
You asking me?
Yes, not Coach Andrew.
Yeah. Most of my rest periods are 45 seconds, sometimes 60.
Yeah. And when you're doing the heavy sets of the strength, do you rest a little bit longer or do you still keep it at 45, 60?
Yeah, if it's strength training and there's not prescribed rest, I definitely be longer than 45.
Great, good. For a second there, I thought you were just telling me that you're only resting 45 seconds in
Oh,
this. Okay. Oh
no.
no, Andrew. Oh no. We could get much stronger. Yeah. But when I would program a 45-second rest break with the hypertrophy work, the objective there is to actually go into your next set being slightly still fatigued. That's going to elicit a greater response of hypertrophy, a greater response of fatigue. You're going to get a muscular pump. You're going to break down tissue as well. And that leads to that hypertrophy effect and the aerobic conditioning too. But if I want you to get strong and be able to handle heavier loads, you got to rest a little bit longer. Now, you could open any textbook on strength training. I guess a whole bunch of them over here to my right. And I can flip them open and go to the rest periods, and they'll all say about the same thing. They're all going to say resting 3 to 5 minutes between each set. Now, in my early days as a strength coach, I would do the same thing. I'd say, okay, sit down. We're not going for 4 full minutes. And someone would say to me, Chris, I'm ready to go after 2 minutes. I'd say, no, the textbook says 4 straight minutes. We're going to rest 4 full minutes. Turns out that everybody's recovery is going to be a little bit different. If someone's overhead press was 65 pounds and someone else's was 165 pounds, they're probably going to need a different amount of rest period because it's a greater stress on the body. When you have someone who's also larger, moving heavy weight, they might need more rest than someone who's lighter, moving heavy weight, because it's possible the lighter person is more aerobically fit. So they recover at a faster rate. Matt?
Sorry, curiosity. Is recovery rate a perhaps related to percentage of one rep max? So if you're
No.
60, if you put it up 65, cool. And but your one rep max is 80 versus 165, and your one rep max is 300.
No, your recovery would not be based on that. It'd be based on the amount of effort that you put into it. So an example is you could take 65% of your max, do it for 10 reps. Take 65% of your max, do it for one rep, right? The 10 reps, you're going to be, I
Gassed.
need to sit down, right? Yeah. But if you take 100% of a lift and you actually do a full 100%, the chance of you actually repeating that on the same training session, quite low. A true 100%. If your max is 100 kilos on bench press and you cannot do 101 and you do 100, you do that for a single, give you 3 minutes, give you 5 minutes, give you 6 minutes, you won't be able to repeat that. And if you can, it's not a true 100%. It's probably like a 98%, which is also another indicator sometimes if you're stronger than what you once were. Can you do multiple sets or multiple reps at weights that used to wreck you within one session? So I got a secret here for everyone when it comes to using rest periods for strength. Now, you're not going to find this in a textbook, but you would find this if you had a training session with me. Because just over the years of working with so many different individuals, I realized that everyone's going to recover at a different rate, but how could I make it consistent for everyone? Well, easy way to do it, when you feel ready to go, set the timer for 60 seconds and then go.
I love
Because,
that.
yeah, so what happens with certain people, if they're more fit, they're going to need a little bit less recovery time. If they're less fit, they might need more. If they lift less weight, they might need less. If they lift more, they might need more. But everyone's going to be ready to go mentally and physically. That mental part is that, hey, I feel ready to go. That physical part is about 60 seconds later. And you'll know if you've rested too short when you go to try to do a second set. And all of a sudden, like say it's back squat, you do a heavy set of five, And then all of a sudden, you're like, hey, time to go. And you unrack that bar, you walk out, and your body's kind of shaking. Why am I shaking? Your nervous system has not recovered. Your nervous system needs a little bit longer. When you do strength training, your aerobic system will recover first, your muscular system will recover second, and your nervous system will recover third. So you finish, you rack the bar, a little breath. 30 seconds later, you're not out of breath. Okay, well, your ability to contract the muscle might still need about another minute and a half. You might feel like a pump in your chest still or in your legs. Okay, pump goes down. Okay, I'm good to go. But you unrack the bar too soon, your body's shaking. That's the nervous system. So aerobic system will recover first, muscular system will recover second, nervous system recovers third. So for everyone, it's when you feel ready to go, set the timer and go about 60 seconds later. That's a great way to generate a baseline for everyone that you can always use. Does that make sense to people?
Yep.
Coach Andrew, are you still on this call? I have my screen set up kind of funny, where I can't see everyone. No, I think he left. Okay. I was going to ask him to weigh in on something, but you know what? Go to Oh, he had to take his daughter to jiu-jitsu. That's right. We forgive him.
His daughter showed up, and I think he just got taken down. She's little but strong. Yes.
Maybe you guys have met Coach Andrew. He's like 6'7". He's ginormous, so I can only imagine how
6 to 8
strong.
was fun.
Can only imagine how strong his daughter is. Okay, so rest periods. If you're not resting long enough, and then it also goes the other way. Sometimes we rest too long. Now you might say, "Well, how does that make sense when it comes to strength? Obviously, more rest is better, right?" You need to actually get your body into a position of a ready state or your nervous system optimization. Nervous system optimization is when your nervous system is ready to go and do the thing. So you actually have to rev it up. So right now on this call here, everyone's nervous system is probably pretty low, as it should be. You're sitting on your couch, you're sitting in your office, you're just chilling. You shouldn't have a rev nervous system. But if I took 90% of your max and I put on a barbell and I said, get underneath that thing and try to squat it right now, you would automatically be like, okay, all right, you're gonna squeeze that bar extra hard. You might push yourself into the bar to stand up. Those little things there will actually amplify your nervous system to be able to handle a load like that. Real-time practice. You've been in the gym, you're killing your workouts, you got a lot of momentum going. Someone comes up to you and they say, hey, you got a minute? You're like, yeah, no problem. They chat with you for 10 or 15 minutes. You go back to that exercise, and all of a sudden you're like, I'm not in it mentally. Or it feels way too heavy, you've actually rested too long. And because you've rested too long, your nervous system has actually gone down. It's tampered down. You have what's called a sympathetic nervous system, which is kind of like your fight or flight. It's revved up, it's ready to go, it's great for lifting. Then you have what's called your parasympathetic nervous system, which is rest and digest. And sometimes, if you're not stimulating your sympathetic nervous system, your body will switch and calm down. So, resting too long can also be a reason why you may not be getting any of the gains in the gyms or the strength that you want to be getting in the gym. But rest a little bit shorter. Another reason why you might not be getting strong in the gym is the actions don't match your goals. I briefly talked about this before, but I'm going to go into a little bit more detail right now. And a good example that we can use actually is Stephen, who was chatting earlier. And he wrote in the chat, a goal for him is to bench press 100 kilos and deadlift 200 kilos. Well, currently in his training program, we don't do deadlifts, we don't do conventional deadlifts, and we don't do flat barbell bench press. But the training he's doing is awesome and it's working towards his current goals. But his current goals are not to do 100 kilo bench and 200 kilo deadlift. So his training program right now is not consistent with that specific goal. So if you're on this call now and you have a strength goal, make sure that the program supports it. Talk to your coach. Say, if I also want to be able to do this, do I need to do things different with my training program? And that's how that can come into play. It's hard to cut weight and then also increase strength. So sometimes we're in this program to lose a bunch of body fats. We're in like a caloric deficit. It's hard for the body to increase its strength while being in a caloric deficit. Sometimes you can increase your conditioning, which then can also lead to a little bit more strength because you're in better shape. And Andrew's a good example of that because he's lost just over 15 pounds and his strength numbers are going up. But we did a ton of conditioning work. And I don't mean conditioning, but like he just got on the treadmill and he ran. He was doing sets of 15 with a 4-0-1-0 tempo and a 45-second rest. So what does that look like? He was doing 90-second sets of exercise, 45-second rest of a barbell back squat, of a chin-up, of a deadlift variation. So he was already getting the specific exercise stress, but the loads were super light, but he was getting in better shape. So when we went to do the strength component of it, we said, okay, now we're gonna not do sets of 15 with that crazy tempo. Now we're gonna have something heavy. His body was actually in much more conditioned shape to handle it than previously because he wasn't doing those exercises before. So the goals and the action, they just have to align with each other. When they do that, you're more likely to get stronger. If they don't align, you're less likely to get stronger. They got to be consistent with each other, right? When it comes to recovery, this is a really big component of strength right now. If your objective, like I can speak on a power lifter and a weightlifter perspective. If your objective is to increase your total in either of those two sports, you probably only train 3 to 4 times a week, maybe five. But on average, it's probably 3 to 4. If your objective is to shed a bunch of body fat or to put on a bunch of muscle mass, you're going to be training more than 3 times a week. Good chance you're training more than four. You're probably doing five. By doing like a three on, one off, two on, one off, something like that. Because you need to get those types of stimuluses more for that specific goal, but your body can't tolerate it when it comes to strength training. If you do just specifically strength, where the objective is to increase all of your strength exercises, and you do that 6 days a week, the chances of you recovering are quite low. And if you don't recover, you don't adapt. So that frequency has to be specific. What else can influence recovery? What do you guys think can influence recovery? Whether it's strength training, hypertrophy training, or fat loss, what do you think can influence someone's recovery?
Sleep.
Sleep and nutrition, stress. Yeah, but those are probably your three biggest ones. Sleep, nutrition, managing your stress. If you don't sleep, you don't recover. We're the only species on the planet that purposely depletes sleep from our life. Are there other species like, yo, we need to sleep. We're going to do it. Us, we're like, no, we can stay up later. We can do more. We can work more. We can do more. We'll sleep later. We'll sleep when we're dead. When you sleep, your body secretes certain hormones that are necessary for recovery. You're not going to get that done when you are awake. So sleep is important from a hormonal perspective. Sleep is where you grow. The biggest growth spurt of your life was probably those first 5 years of your life. You were napping every day. That's when you're getting all your sleep in, right? And you weren't taking protein shakes. You weren't even hitting the gym. You were growing like a monster. Sleep's a big component of that. Now, nutrition's also a really big component of recovery too. If you're trying to lose a bunch of body fat, you're in a caloric deficit. Your body's digesting its own fat stores for energy. If that's the nutrition plan that you're following, it's hard to get stronger when you're actually shrinking. So your nutrition would have to match the strength goal. You need a sufficient amount of calories to get through your training program. You don't need a surplus of calories to get through your strength program. You need sufficient enough calories to get through your workouts. If your objective is hypertrophy to put on muscle mass, you need a surplus of calories to create the environment of protein synthesis and growth. You don't have to just be growing muscles to get stronger. That's why there's weight classes. That's why, for some of you guys who have met me, I'm not a very large person. And for you who haven't met me, if you ever meet me in person, again, still not a large person, but I can lift some heavy weights. I've gotten stronger without changing my weight class because I don't eat in a surplus to gain size. I eat enough to recover from my training. So if the foods you're eating are too much of a deficit, or the quality of the foods are shit, you're not going to recover from your training. So nutrition is a very large component of that. Stress as well. Sometimes people think that stress only affects you in the moment, but stress has long-term effects. I'll give you an example. If you have stress that you're dealing with for whatever cause, it affects your focus in the gym. All of a sudden, okay, I know when I lift heavy, I'm supposed to do this, 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 this. And then all of a sudden, you're not able to focus on those 4 points. Now you're less efficient at your strength training. If you're stressed out in between sets, you're on your phone, you're handling some work or some personal business because of stress, your rest periods might not be tuned the way they're supposed to. Maybe you're resting too long. If you're undergoing a lot of stress and you're like, okay, I need to recover, I need to sleep tonight. You lie down in bed, your eyes are open. You're not going to recover. You're not going to get stronger. Stress affects digestion. If every time you eat food, you get the runs, you're not going to be absorbing any of those nutrients. You're breaking them down. So stress is going to affect your nutrition, which will then affect your recovery. So sleep, nutrition, and stress, they're not exclusive of each other. They play a very large role in all three to get stronger. And if you can maximize those three things, and you do the right amount of stimulus for the exercises and stuff, you can get stronger. But recovery is a very large component of it. The last reason that I would bring up now why someone might not be getting stronger in the gym is they might just not have enough patience. Strength takes time. It takes time to get strong. It's a commitment that you have to make of doing, unfortunately, sometimes the same thing over and over again. So your technique gets really good. Then you start adding a little bit of load, you add a little bit of volume, and you just do the same thing. When I was competing exclusively in powerlifting, I didn't do more than five exercises a week. How boring is that? Five exercises. I would squat, bench, deadlift, and I would do two variations of squat, and I'd do two variations of deadlift. That's it. And I would say to a lot of other power lifters who'd sometimes come into the sport, they might do 3 or 4 years and they quit. I would say, like, hey, why'd you quit? And I already knew what their answer was going to be. It was either going to be because they got injured or because they got bored. They want to do something else. And I'll say some of the best powerlifters I've ever met, they're the ones who can tolerate the most amount of boredom doing the same thing. They just had the patience because it takes time. But even though I just went through this big list of like 10, 12 things of why you might not be getting strong in the gym, I got some really good news about getting strong in the gym as well. One, if you put on more muscle, you're going to be stronger. That's just a side effect. So sometimes you don't have to be specific with your strength goals to actually get stronger. If you just put on more muscle mass, you can just move a little bit more weight. That's a nice little bonus to it. Two, any form of resistance on your body can lead to a strength adaptation. It doesn't have to be just the barbells. You can get stronger doing the chest press machine. You get stronger doing a body weight pull-up. You can get stronger putting a vest on you and going for a ruck. Those are other forms of strength as well. It doesn't have to be just the main barbell lifts. The third thing, once you've gotten strong, you don't have to do a whole bunch to keep it. It takes a lot more to get strong than it does to maintain and keep your strength. If you commit to a strength training regimen 3 times a week, and you do that for a full 12 months, you're going to get some progress in strength and whatever exercises you're biasing. You could then take off 12 months and go back to it. You will not be weaker than you started. I guarantee that. You will not be as strong as when you left. I guarantee that. But you'll be somewhere in the middle. Because once you've gotten strong, your body's created these neurological pathways. They understand how to move a weight a certain way. So the good news is you can still achieve strength without being hyper-focused on just one movement. Put on a little bit of muscle mass, do it on a regular basis, have some patience, and then once you've gotten strong, you're always going to have some level of strength. That's a guarantee. That's some of the good stuff that goes with strength training. Does that sound good, everyone?
Thank you,
Cool.
Chris.
We got 4 minutes left here. I'm going to keep the call open. If you guys have any other questions, comments, or just want my opinion on strength-related topics for tonight, Des.
Do you have any like tips or cues that you use before you lift, to either maybe like a visualization or get yourself pumped up or technique based or something like that?
Yeah. So I use a few different things. One is I use music. I like to lift to music, and I have my playlist that gets me focused. And I have a song I like to listen to when I gotta do a heavy squat. I've got a song I like to listen to when I do a heavy deadlift. Like I've got specific songs for lifts. I also have a lot of video and I use a ton of video. So I always videotape my lifts and I always look at the videos before I go to the gym. If I'm like, man, say on technique, I want to make sure I'm dialing in this thing here. I'll pull open my iPad and find a video of me doing a lift that really well. I'm like, and I'll watch it and I'll watch it. Then I'll go to the gym, I'll try to implement it. I'm lifting at the gym. Sorry, go ahead.
Do you use like caffeine or anything like that for your workouts or?
Caffeine? Well, yeah, I mean, I got two kids and pretty much like four jobs in fitness. I do caffeine, my friend. Yeah. I don't do caffeine at night, though, because it does affect my sleep negatively. But I will use caffeine as a pre-workout. In a simple form, I will usually have a coffee. Coffee and salt with me, because coffee also acts as a diet, it depletes your sodium levels. So sodium, water, caffeine is a go-to for me before I go and do a lift for sure.
Sweet, thanks.
As I was saying before, though, is I'll videotape my lifts while I'm doing my lifts, and then I'll always check them. So I'll do a lift, and I'll have the camera going. That didn't feel right. I'll go over and I'll look at the video and be like, oh, it didn't feel right. I see why. And then I can go to the next set, try to self-correct, and then look at, oh, yeah, I did it. I did it better now. That's why sometimes we ask you guys to videotape yourselves and send us videos for the technical feedback piece. Yeah. No worries, Matt. So yeah, I use those things there all the time. And also, I didn't talk about it, but there's an optimal time to lift heavy. The optimal time to lift heavy, some people might say, is in the evening when you've been up for over 12 hours. Some people might say it's in the morning when your cortisol levels are at their highest. That's when you want to actually lift. I will argue both components there. When I used to lift lighter, I could strength train really heavy in the morning because it wasn't heavy in relation to my skeleton. Now, when I lift heavy, I can't lift early in the morning. My spine needs to be awake for a couple hours because when you sleep at night, your spine actually decompresses. Your discs hydrate, and the spaces between the vertebrae is a little bit larger. That's why we wake up in the morning, we're taller, right? So our spines are actually laying, we're a little bit taller. When you're trying to do a heavy deadlift or a heavy squat, you don't want that with your spine unless you've got like a degenerative disc disease or you've got some decompression issues already. If you've got an average spine, you want a stiff spine in the morning to stabilize you. So as my weights were getting up higher and higher and higher, I wake up in the morning, I was too unstable to lift right away. I needed to be up for a few hours before I could go lift heavy. So the optimal time for me was at one time in the morning, because it worked with my life schedule, but then it had to become mid-morning, afternoon, or evening. So the optimal time to lift when it comes to strength training is going to be individual just as much as you are. Cool. Okay. Go ahead.
Sorry, Chris. Could you, for example, you just talked about lengthening the spine and stuff for weight training. How about daily mobility? Because I do my daily mobility as soon as I get up. Is that a good time to do daily mobility, or should I do that in the afternoon or nighttime?
Again, that's an individual thing, right? So when it comes to mobility, I would always answer or question mobility for what? Do you need the mobility to be able to get range of motion in your exercises? Do you need
Yeah,
mobility for
probably.
day-to-day life? Okay, so range of motion for your exercises. So let's say, for example, you wake up at 6 in the morning, you're gonna go to the gym for 7, you do 30 minutes of mobility in your house, that allows you to go to the gym, hit the range of motions in your exercise you want to be able to do to get strength gains or hypertrophy gains, then you eat afterwards and you're good to go. That makes perfect sense and why you'd want to do it, right? If you have range of motion that's necessary for your training already, there's no need to get up for 30 minutes beforehand to mobilize your body. You might just be able to go to the machine, the dumbbell, the barbell, and that warms you up. So it's got to be kind of specific. If you're hypermobile, and some people have it, there's tests you can do to see if you have hypermobility. A real simple one here is if you can get your thumb to touch your wrist, if you pull that in, you might be labeled as
Yes, I
hypermobile.
can't do
I don't think anyone on this call can, but some people are out there, they can do that. So if you're hypermobile and then you start doing a series of mobility protocols before strength training, you can increase instability in the joint, which makes it less stable. A less stable joint is not a strong joint. Mobility has to be tuned to what do you want to get out of it. I played 18 rounds of golf, or 18 rounds of golf, to one round of 18 holes of golf today. I need to be able to rotate a shit ton to swing a club. So my warm up for golf is going to be completely different than my warm up for deadlifts. Deadlifts is all about stability. I don't need to stretch to be able to bend down and grab a bar. I'm a very tall 5 foot eight. That bar is halfway up my shin already. I'm good, right? But if you take Coach Andrew, right? Coach Andrew at 6 to 7 feet tall, if we're both going to go deadlift off 18 inches off the floor is where the bar is with that standard 45 on, Andrew might have to do a little bit of mobility to be able to get down there and grab that bar in the same comfort level as me. So mobility has to be tuned to the individual and what they're trying to get out of the exercise or out of the gym or out of their life as well. So I hope that answers your question. It's not specific, but it might make some sense to you.
Yeah, great. Thanks for
Cool. Okay, boys, I'm going to conclude the call tonight because I've got another appointment to get to right now. I hope you guys enjoyed this. I'm on once a month doing some of the strength stuff here, so I'll be back on again in September. If this was helpful and useful for you, make sure to talk to your coaches if there's anything that you need to implement, and you could always refer what I talked about, and they could always contact me. We can put some stuff together for you guys moving forward. If you're not doing any strength training now for Costa Rica for whatever reason, no problem. But make sure to get on it because we're going to be lifting some heavy things if you're coming down to that one there. So, gentlemen, thank you very much for your time tonight. I appreciate it. And I'll see you guys on my very next call.
Cheers, Chris.
Have a good one, fellas.